Welcome to the Cairns Writes Podcast, home of science fiction, fantasy, and horror author Michael Cairns, me. If you like what you hear today, you can find more at cairnswrites.com and download free sci-fi novella, Childhood Dreams.
In episode 2 of Scarlet's Walk, our heroine escaped the two scary men in Martin's squat, only to find herself in the underworld, with a guy who looks a bit like a fish. Only scary. Scarlet's Walk, Episode 3. She hadn't done this spell, not yet, but it needed no ingredients and sounded impressive, so it would have to do. There was a slim chance she'd get out of here without being defiled in some way. Defiled was a good word. It sounded unpleasant and uncomfortable. She wasn't entirely sure what it meant, but she was fairly certain that people who dressed in skin-tight leather and spent their days hanging out in a place called the Underworld probably did a lot of it. They stared at her, arms resting on legs as they leaned forward, probably imagining the upcoming defilement. She was a performing monkey, or soon would be. And to think, she got nervous when she had to give a drama performance. Her hand shook as she lifted the spellbook. This was no good. She wasn't even going to be able to say the words properly. She let the book drop, looking around at the eager, greedy faces. Okay, which one of you did the invites for this thing? I mean, really, these outfits? Have you even used a mirror? That was better. She was met with a chorus of hisses and sneers, but no one got up or challenged her, and she managed a weak smile. The guy on the throne was the real deal, whatever that meant. But these others? Wannabe was pretty close to the truth, she reckoned. She spoke the words, slowly, carefully, putting her weight behind it, just as Martin had taught her. She squeezed her eyes closed as soon as she said the last word, and was pleased she did. She heard the gasps as light filled the room. Holding the book up as a shield, she peered out through slitted eyelids. A ball of light, bright enough to make her eyes water, hung in the air before her. She stepped back, glancing around the room. Many of those hissing at her moments earlier were smiling and clapping. The few who had remained silent when the big man was holding court were still silent and still watching her. The big man himself was on his feet, applauding along with the rest, climbing down again from his throne.
Excellent. Outstanding. It appears you are the entertainment after all. Not quite what I imagined, but entertaining nonetheless.
He stepped closer and she got a whiff of him, the faintest scent of hospitals and burning rubber, hidden behind some nasty aftershave that made her nose wrinkle. He came around the light, a huge silhouette that blocked it out. She lowered the book and waited, hands on hips. His voice was lower, no longer meant for the others in the room.
Who is your father, girl?
She raised her eyebrows, ignoring the shaking in her legs. The name Scarlet, man, thing, and actually, who my father is none of your business. Okay, that was stupid, just plain mum-level stupid. She coughed. Where's Martin? The big man rocked back on his heels, folding his arms before him. She strained to see his expression, but the light behind still painted his face in black shadow. He chuckled the sound climbing up her back and stroking her neck so she squirmed.
You have spirit. I will know who your father is and from where you came.
No, you won't. And from where I came, really? The light was fading. Just enough for her to see his forehead crease, massive eyebrows meeting above his clear eyes. They stared at one another for a moment, long enough for Scarlet to realise the room had gone silent. The others might not be able to hear, but they knew something was happening. The shaking had become quite serious, and her palms were slippery against the cover of the book. She put it into her pocket and put her hands back on her hips. This was like one of those awkward moments at a party when she realised she didn't have a clue what to say or how to say it. Like all parties then, really. The big man's face changed, like flipping channels, and he threw back his head and roared with laughter. The tension broke, and she surreptitiously wiped her hands on her jeans, glancing around the room. He stopped abruptly and spread his hands before him.
Martin isn't here.
What? What? You said he'd come to visit. You said you'd let him go. Tears stung the corner of her eyes, and she blinked them away, taking a step forward as she waved her finger at him. He shrugged.
You are in the underworld. I would have thought the name might have given you some clue as to the honesty of its denizens.
Huh?
I lied.
But, hang on. My spell brought me here. It said he was here. The big man shook his head, smiling.
Spells can be tricksy and unreliable. Martin was here not so long ago, but he and I, we have an understanding now. Maybe this is the last place the spell could track him to.
She stepped back, turning from the big man and staring into the darkness above the assembled watchers. What the hell was she doing here? She was 16, inept at pretty much everything except social media and quoting Harry Potter. So what was she going to achieve? Everyone here was older than her by quite a long way. She turned back to him, grinding her teeth together. Would it have hurt you just to tell me the truth? The big man rocked his head side to side.
In truth, perhaps not. But then I would not have known whether your tales of being a magician were true. Martin is teaching someone.
He trailed off, still watching her with that amused air that made her want to punch him, like, really hard. What a dick. She pulled the book out and turned back to the rescue spell. Perhaps she just hadn't thought about him hard enough. She realized with a sinking heart that she had no ingredients with her. She couldn't do it even if she wanted to. The big man still watched her, one chunky eyebrow higher than the other. She glared at him. How do I get out of here? For a second, she thought he was going to laugh again, and she swallowed hard, the tears threatening once more. Instead, he nodded.
I can help you with that. Where would you like to go?
I need to find Martin.
Well, perhaps he did mention where he was heading when he left here. Let me see.
He didn't say anything, but a bright light appeared before her and she took a step toward it. His voice chased her from the underworld.
Such a pleasure to meet you, Scarlet. A word to the wise. Be careful in who you give your name to. Not everyone is as kind as I am.
She stepped through and into the driving rain. The clouds of earlier had lived up to their promise, and she could barely see the lights that blurred before her eyes, barely see anything but the wall of water. She turned slowly, looking for something she recognised, and froze, staring in amazement at Camden Town Tube Station. She was in Camden. She was miles from home. No Oyster card, no money, nothing. Also, no jacket. She scampered into the entrance to the tube and wrapped her arms around her, staring out into the rain. It was coming down in sheets and she was drenched to the skin. She sniffed. This sucked, just really sucked. She could be at home, watching Potter musicals, eating pizza. But no, she had to run about like a hero, like she had some ability to do something. She wallowed. She was good at wallowing. Some days the world was out to get her, and other days it just sucked. But either way, it was, without a doubt, someone else's fault. She sniffed. Okay, this was boring. Martin had come here after leaving the underworld. What had he meant by an understanding? She should have read the meeting books thoroughly before she came here. She was so sure she was going to find him and get her lessons, she really hadn't thought about anything else. But the books would tell her something, something useful. Maybe. She looked behind her at the barriers. She could jump them, she snorted, gaining funny looks from the people rushing past. She couldn't jump anything, except maybe Johnny Depp's bones. That was a weird expression. Why bones? Then again, it seemed kind of fitting for Johnny. Scarlet peered down Camden High Street, the lights of the market peering back through the rain. He was here, somewhere, possibly. She tried to remember her lessons and ignored the shivering. She should be able to see this stuff now. She slitted her eyes and saw even less than before. This was stupid. Scarlet rubbed her temples and tried to relax, lifting her shoulders up to her ears and letting them drop, taking deep breaths. She looked again down the street, still gently rubbing her temples, and suddenly she saw it. There were people rushing back and forth, but two of them stood out, lined in pale green light. She gasped, staring at them. They looked no different, but they were. Oh, yeah, they were. One came past her, glanced up, and gave her a nod, the slightest hint of a smile. She clenched her fists in front of her chest, like she just won Miss World. She could see them. She was part of something, like so much cooler than, well, anything else. She watched the other walking away from her until the strange green outline was lost amongst the rain. This was just so amazingly cool. She had to be careful, not geek out too much and embarrass herself. It would be like when she discovered someone at school who read manga. She had stalked her, like, completely for weeks, until she couldn't hold back and unleashed a torrent of fanny geekiness at her. Turned out manga wasn't quite such a big deal for that girl, and Scarlet had crept home and hidden for the next 3 days. If Martin was here, he would show up, somehow. Would he be easier to see because she knew him? It said something like that, that she would begin to recognize certain auras. She took a deep breath and stepped out into the storm. The rain had lessened slightly and only felt like someone emptying a bucket of water over her head. She was, at least, too wet to care now, and her t-shirt was black and in no way see-through, which was a relief. She had to keep pulling it away from her waist, not that it made any difference, but most people were hurrying by, faces down, so they didn't see anyway. She headed over the bridge, glancing down into the murky waters of the canal. The shop fronts, decorated in giant shoes and airplanes, were lit up, showing like ghosts through the downpour. She'd only been here a couple of times, and it was so cool, even in the rain. To her right, as she came off the bridge, a tiny street led down between market stalls, and over the road, the stables. A green hum lit the evening sky, like there were green strobes pointing up from the middle of the stables. He had to be in there. She dashed across the road, avoiding suicidal cyclists and in through the wooden gates. The smells attacked her stomach, Chinese and Indian, Mexican and the old classic fried chicken, all reminding her of how long it had been since she ate. Staring in envy at the food stalls, she rounded the corner and gazed at the building that was lined with a patina of green light. How did no one else see it? Closer inspection revealed it to be a venue called Dingwalls. The doors were shut up, the lights off, and she circled it, passing more inviting food stalls, steam rising up through the rain. She whimpered, turning away to focus on the hall. She tried the front door, and it cracked open. Looking guiltily behind her, she slipped in and pulled the door closed. She was breathing hard and giggled. She could add breaking and entering to her rapidly growing CV. God, this was so stupid. She walked past the front desk and through into the venue. It was small, tables lining the outsides, the stage forlorn and drab in the dark. The light was all around her, but she realized it grew fainter the higher up she looked. The floor beneath her feet pulsed, and looking at it longer than a few seconds made her want to hurl. Whatever she wanted was down, down in the darkness, in the gloom, and what was it with people and going underground? Why couldn't they all have nice top-floor flats with good visibility and a well-marked emergency exit? Stomping around the venue, she found the door marked no entry, and, just for shits and giggles, entered. A steep set of steps led her down into the darkness, the green glow stronger here, but casting as much shadow as it did illumination. The floor below was filled with dust and old chairs and tables, and nothing remotely resembling a captured magician. She searched around, avoiding sticking her hands in anything too dirty. Scarlet was close to giving up hope, or at least shouting until someone appeared, when she found another door. This one was unmarked, but the handle was dust-free, and it opened silently. More stairs deeper into the earth. She would have said deeper into hell, but at least there they had the good sense to be above ground. It smelled of damp, and the air felt thick, as though she could scoop it up and hold it. It smelled old as well, like Grandad's house after he died. The floor beneath her feet was slightly sticky and greedy for her shoes. She stepped slowly forward, shielding her eyes with one arm as the light grew ever brighter. She rounded a corner, and before her lay possibly the last thing she'd expected to see. There were two sofas and a large armchair, an old metal stove bearing a kettle, and, each lit up like candles, three women.
Thanks for listening. If you liked what you heard, you can find more at cairnsrights.com and come back in a week for the next episode. You can also find me on Pinterest, Facebook, Goodreads, and Twitter, or email me at michael@cairnsrights.com.